All right, we're going to call our Committee of the Whole meeting to order. Welcome. It's at 7 o'clock for June 19th, Committee of the Whole. I'm going to ask the clerk to take the roll call, please.
Trustee Corsini.
Here.
Trustee Cargi.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Conti. Trustee Hennick.
Here.
Trustee Gibb.
Here.
President Odusi.
Here. I know that Susan will be here. She had a slight conflict. She said she'd probably be about 20 minutes late. So we expect Trustee Conti to be here. Before we get started, our next item would be public comment, and I think we have a list here. I just want to give you a little bit of the rules of the road, if you don't mind, so that we're not here till 1 o'clock in the morning. What I'd ask is when I call your name, if you can come up and speak. If you could tell us if you're a resident or not, that would be nice for the trustees. We also ask that you not speak any longer than 3 minutes. Otherwise, we will be here till midnight or 1 o'clock. So I will try to manage the process a little. If I find that you're beyond 3 minutes, I'll ask you to please wrap it up. So don't take that as I'm trying to be rude. I'm just trying to help the process along. Also, there will be no action taken tonight. I know there's been some emails kind of flying around to the trustees and myself about voting. There will be no vote tonight. The purpose tonight is a Committee of the Whole, is to hear from our residents on this issue of welcoming resolution. And it is also a time for all of us here around the table to discuss or ask any questions. So once the public comments are finished, I will close the public comments and then ask the trustees to comment or ask questions. I ask that you don't blurt out an answer. I know sometimes it's hard. If you want my attention, and I believe if it's appropriate, I will acknowledge you. Otherwise, please don't take this as rude. We're just trying to move the process along. If you're hanging over there looking for giving me a wave and I don't acknowledge you, it's because I didn't think it was appropriate at the time of our speaking, okay? Again, just helping the process along. So no vote, public comment, then close the public comment, trustees will discuss, and then we will adjourn our meeting. And hopefully by the end of the discussion, we will have some direction for all of you and for all of us as well in terms of our next steps, okay? Okay, with that, the first up is Mark Carroll.
Thank you, and I think I'm 3 minutes on the head, so we'll avoid the hook.
Okay, Mark, thank you.
Hello, President Odusi, and pardon me, 1045 Park Avenue.
Thank you.
In River Forest. Hello, President Odusi and Village Trustees. My name is Mark Carroll, and I want to thank you for allowing me and others to speak on support in support of the Welcoming Village Resolution. Also want to thank you for your ongoing service and commitment to the Village of River Forest. We all appreciate that greatly. By way of personal background, my wife, three children, and I have lived in River Forest since 2010. However, this is my second stint as a River Forest resident. By way of personal background, again, I was born and raised in River Forest, living my entire childhood here until going to college. My mom taught at Trinity. My dad worked at Dominican University for almost 50 years, which is known to me as Rosary at the time. And to the kids in the community, affectionately, the basketball team, the Rosary Beads. I can't imagine having better childhood memories than I have from growing up in River Forest. When my wife and I moved here from the city, I was hoping our children would have the same childhood experiences in River Forest that I had. However, as I've lived here now as a father, I'm glad they won't in many respects. If my 8-year-old daughter grew up in River Forest when I did, she couldn't play softball like she knows now. There wasn't a girls' softball league. My mom still lives in River Forest. However, if she were a senior citizen during the days and years when I was a child, village sidewalks, parking, and buildings wouldn't be as accessible to her as they are now. My son wouldn't be able to play baseball under the lights at Keystone, and most importantly, my three children would not have the diverse group of friends and classmates that they have now. One of their friends has parents who are undocumented immigrants. They arrived in the U.S. 20 years ago. They overstayed their visa, but they worked, they paid taxes, they contributed to Social Security, they had a family, and they live in River Forest, and they're part of our community. And there are many others like them who live, study, and work in River Forest every day, living with some amount of uncertainty and fear. A welcoming village resolution will help ease that fear, even just a little bit. Since my childhood, River Forest has responded to the evolving needs and concerns of its stakeholders and its residents. These changes are often small and may affect a limited number of people, but taken together, they make life better for everybody in our town. And because of that, my kids are going to be fortunate enough to have memories even richer than I have from my time in River Forest. This summer, the trustees will consider the Welcoming Village Resolution. You'll hear from other speakers tonight about it, how it will protect village residents, families, and students in our community from the fear of permanent separation due to deportation, how it will affect village employees, including law enforcement officials, from being deputized as federal immigration agents. And importantly, it will protect all of us, since crime is more likely to be reported when people are confident that they won't have to disclose their immigration status. The resolution is based on River Forest values, and it sends a message that in River Forest, all are welcome, all of us are safe here, and nobody has to be afraid. And I'm just one of hundreds of River Forest residents supporting this resolution. So we ask you to vote in favor of it when the time comes, and that we officially designate River Forest as the welcoming village that we already know it is. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Okay, very good. Moni? Yep. Yep.
Good evening. My name is Moni Ruiz Velasco. I am not a resident of River Forest. I'm a resident of Oak Park. However, I am the executive director of the West Suburban Action Project, a social justice advocacy and legal organization, and we work to serve people in all of the western suburbs, including people who live in River Forest. I'm also a longtime immigrant rights attorney. We serve thousands of people each year through our organization. We provide critical services and are very fortunate to help draft and support welcoming resolutions and ordinances in Cook County, Oak Park, Berwyn, Summit, Forest Park, and we're working to improve the welcoming ordinance now in Chicago, as well as Evanston, Skokie, and we're working in other towns that are considering similar resolutions. President Aducci and Village Council members, thank you for remaining open to the community to understanding this urgent need. The work to make this resolution move forward has been led by the River Forest community, which we are very, very proud to support. This is important and critical work for many community members who are living in fear. Since January, we have seen a 40% increase in the number of deportations in the U.S. Just last week, the Director of Immigration and Customs Enforcement said that undocumented immigrants should live in fear, should look over their shoulders, and should be detained and deported. There were many recent reports of aggressive tactics used by immigration agents across the country, including ICE picking up a father when he was dropping his kids off at school and his daughter recording the whole entire incident. Another dad being detained by ICE when he was on his way to the hospital after his newborn had surgery. A cyclist being hit by a car and the ambulance worker asking him about his immigration status before giving him the care that he needed. ICE showing up at a school in New York to interrogate a fourth grader. Luckily, the school did not allow them in because, like District 90, they had a resolution saying they were not going to let ICE in without a warrant. And many more stories of families being separated and harmed by deportations. Victims are not coming forward to report crime. Some areas have reported a decrease in 40% in the number of sexual assaults reported by immigrant communities. And some areas have seen a 20% decrease in commerce because of fear in the community. I don't know about you, but this is not the environment that I want for my children, for my community, and for me. For those reasons and many more, we, with the leadership of Representative Chris Welch and Senator Harmon, the General Assembly passed the Illinois Trust Act, which is now awaiting the governor's signature. The Trust Act, if enacted, will apply to River Forest, and it does two things. It prohibits law enforcement from honoring immigration holds and requires a constitutionally compliant warrant to detain someone. And if the and it also specifically prohibits law enforcement from inquiring about immigration status. My organization was fortunate to be one of the lead organizations on working on advocacy and policy efforts in Springfield on this bill. And I want to tell you that it was a bipartisan bill. It was negotiated and agreed upon by Illinois law enforcement agencies and with the governor's office. Law enforcement supported these efforts, recognizing that it will make our community safer. So if we trust law enforcement to do their job, we should trust that if this bill is signed into law, which we hope it will be, it will complement any resolution that you are willing to pass, and it will make communities safer. Local efforts such as this resolution are strengthened by the passage of the Trust Act. The Trust Act is a great baseline for the protection of the rights of immigrants, documented and undocumented. However, local ordinances and resolutions continue to be critically necessary as they address other responders who are not covered by the Trust Act, such as first responders, ambulance, and fire department, as well as other village employees. I brought with me today copies of a letter to the editor that was written and published last week by Senator Harmon, Representative Welch, and myself regarding the need for local resolutions, such as the one you're considering today. And it explains how it is really something that complements and is supported by the passage of the Trust Act. The resolution the community submitted to you addresses the concerns raised by the community. Studies show that these policies make communities safer and stronger. The community also understands that this does not solve all immigration problems or deportation problems. However, it sends a strong message that local resources will be used for local purposes. Immigrants are welcome, that River Forest will not tolerate anti-immigrant or anti-Muslim rhetoric and policies. It is critical to acknowledge that our systems are not perfect. Justice is not colorblind. We have not always been welcoming or inclusive in all of our communities. Policing disparately impacts communities of color. However, these efforts help the village government officials officially acknowledge the message sent by all of you and by the community that the people who are here today value access and value equity. The language helps us move forward in a positive way towards becoming a more inclusive community. I ask you not to delay. Your neighboring communities and the Illinois General Assembly have already taken important steps to ensure that immigrants feel welcome and included. We ask you to vote as soon as possible and to vote in favor of a resolution. Thank you very much for your time, and I have copies of the letter for everyone.
Okay, thank you, Monet. Okay, Stacey Williams.
Good evening. My name is Stacey Williams, and I am a resident of River Forest. I'm at 1105 Franklin, but I'm also a member of the Board of Education of District 90. I'm here tonight to show my support of the Welcoming Village Resolution. My colleague, Ralph Martiri, is here as well. We actually have our own board meeting in 15 minutes, but we wanted to be here because this means so much to us. We proudly passed our own resolution on June 6th, so I wanted to come tonight to tell you a little bit about why we did that. And what I'll say to you is exactly what I said to my board when we had this very same discussion. Historically, the idea of a welcoming community comes from the recognition, as said before me, that immigrants are part of the backbone of our society, part of the diversity that makes this country stronger. Unfortunately, we all know there is a national climate that has caused fear and anxiety in our communities, in our families, and in our children. We see it in the news, and we see it in our own neighborhoods. In fact, I recently attended a Youth Network Council meeting, and you probably know, but that meeting convenes organizations that serve youth for Oak Park and River Forest. And in that meeting, they spent a significant amount of time discussing the palpable stress that students and families are feeling because of fears of detainment or deportation. Because of this, many communities around the country and in our own backyard have felt the need to make a public statement to show that they welcome students, families, and staff regardless of their immigration status. So what about District 90? In our strategic plan, we thought it was important to live the values that we talk about, that you read about on our website. One of our core values is inclusion. We want to grow an inclusive school community and demonstrate that we actually do value diversity. One of our stated goals is family and community partnerships. We will foster partnerships and shared responsibility between schools, families, and the community to enrich the lives of all of our stakeholders. And finally, one of our four board goals is community involvement. Understanding its role as a partner to both families and the broader community, the district will foster engagement through open communication and active involvement. This, to me, is what active involvement means. But there are two very important things to note. The resolution that we passed reinforces policies that are currently in place. For example, no one employed by or associated with the district can inquire about a student's or parent's immigration status or require them to produce documentation. And our resolution is drafted to comply with federal and state law while ensuring protection from overreach or abuse. So we ask that the village join us and institutions like Dominican in a show of support that truly is community-wide. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Stacey. Rabbi Glick, have a good meeting.
Good evening. Good evening. My name is Rabbi Adir Glick. I'm the rabbi of West Suburban Temple Har Zion in River Forest. I'm not a resident of River Forest. I'm a resident of Oak Park. Last month, a number of us local faith leaders gathered and met to talk about the resolution. We consider this to be a very important issue, and it's not only about immigration. It's also about creating a community that supports unity and diversity, and that sends a message of shared values to our lead, from our leaders and from our residents. Our faith traditions teach us to love our neighbor as ourselves, and the Hebrew Bible repeats again and again, love the stranger, because we know what it means to be a stranger. And we like to model to our children what it means to be a community of loving kindness and of compassion that is supportive and welcoming of everybody in River Forest, everybody who works here, who lives here, and who studies here. A welcoming village is stronger, safer, and more vibrant. And that is why our group of clergy, we drafted a letter together signed by over 20 local clergy, including many in River Forest, to demonstrate that the resolution is in keeping with the values and teachings of our faith traditions. We support this resolution, and we urge you all to do the same. Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi. Okay, Father McDermott.
Good evening, and thank you for this opportunity to come here and appear before the Village Board. My name is Father Tom McDermott. I'm a Dominican friar and a resident of River Forest. I'm also the pastor of St. Vincent Ferrer Catholic Church on North Avenue. And I'm going to speak just very briefly first, and to tell you I'm here because of my conscience as a believer, and for two specific and simple reasons. The first reason is quite simple. Jesus said, I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Second, because of what Pope Francis said in a TED talk to the people of the world that was videotaped and broadcast on April the 25th, just about 9 weeks ago. I quote, as I lend an ear to those who are sick, to the migrants who face terrible hardships in search of a brighter future, to prison inmates who carry a hell of pain inside their hearts, and to those, many of them young, who cannot find a job, I often ask myself, wondering, why them and not me? I myself was born in a family of migrants. My father, my grandparents, like many other Italians, left for Argentina and met the fate of those who are left with nothing. I could have very well ended up among today's, quote, discarded people. And that's why I always ask myself deep in my heart, why them and not me? Thank you.
Thank you, Father. Terry Norton. Excuse me, Terry Norton. Okay.
Good evening. My name is Terry Norton. I'm a resident of St. River Forest. I live at 714 Forest. And this will be no more than a minute and a half.
Okay.
I'm a permanent deacon at St. Luke Parish, and I've had that position for over 30 years. Last week, the Peace and Justice Committee of that parish, after discussing the matter fully, voted unanimously in favor of the welcoming resolution. A number of those committee members are here tonight. As people of faith, how could they have voted otherwise? We have often heard the now familiar excerpt from the book of Exodus, "You shall not wrong the stranger or oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." And we've observed that the immigrants and refugees among us are indeed strangers in our land who are in need. And as the letter of James tells us, our faith is dead if we ignore others in need. Many of those in need are family members. As the Catholic Church teaches, marriage and family are the central social institutions that must be supported and strengthened, not undermined. We believe that, among its other benefits, the Welcoming Village Resolution offers protection to families in fear of the constant threat of deportation and permanent family separation. Across our nation, cities, villages, and county governments have rallied to pass welcoming resolutions or comparable legal protections. River Forest should follow their lead. Thank you for taking the time to hear the concerns of those who have gathered here tonight. Please lend your support to the people who are in need and who seek your help. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Donna Carroll.
Good evening. I'm Donna Carroll, president of Dominican University, and I have been told that I live, breathe, and sleep in River Forest. However, I am an Oak Park resident. So thank you for your attention to this important issue and for welcoming the voice of Dominican University. In speaking up tonight, I know that I exposed Dominican to the recurring concern about our tax-exempt status. Some ask, are we worthy of a voice because we do not pay property taxes? Are we neighbors or interlopers? These are even more provocative and poignant questions in the current context. For me, the deliberation about a welcoming village resolution is not a matter of partisan politics or ideology or status. On the contrary, your endorsement is an affirmation of the full diversity of our community and a unifying statement of respect for the dignity of each person living, working, and studying here. When the Dominican sisters moved the college to the cornfields of River Forest almost 100 years ago, it was in part to find a safe space to be Catholic. Providing education for those in need of space, welcome, and opportunity remains a cornerstone of our academic mission. Today, Dominican University is one of the most diverse four-year private institutions in the state and one of the first universities in the country to openly welcome and financially support students, regardless of documentation and immigration status. It took enormous courage for our Board of Trustees to approve a sanctuary campus resolution earlier this year. Some trustees had to put aside personal issues for the common good of the university, and I remain deeply grateful for their support. I am here tonight not to ask for that degree of sacrifice. I ask only that you, as our village leadership, respond with kindness and welcome, that you take this opportunity to affirm the beauty in spirit and openness of mind that are hallmarks of a healthy democratic community. Tonight's deliberation is not about strangers. When you vote to approve the Welcoming Village Resolution, You support the family that lives next door, the proprietor of your favorite store or service, your child's teacher. And you recognize the many faces, experiences, and contributions of Dominican constituents, privileged or struggling, documented or not, who have populated and enriched the texture of our neighborhood for almost 100 years. Thank you.
Carol Gall? Gal? Do I have that right? G-A-L-L? There we go.
Good evening. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak with this wonderful crowd. People that have spoken before me, I feel like, have said it all, though I want to give a slightly different perspective on this issue. I am a resident of River Forest, but I'm also the executive director of Sarah's Inn. We are a comprehensive domestic violence agency that serves the River Forest area. We were founded in 1981 by a group of very concerned and dedicated local River Forest and Oak Park residents who saw a problem in their community and said, we need to do something about this and we need to speak up. As many of you know, Sarah's Inn is a comprehensive domestic violence agency, and we truly approach domestic violence as a societal issue that necessitates a holistic response. We're committed to programming not only that works to appropriately work towards the needs of those families already impacted, but also proactively prevent violence for future generations. We serve the west side of Chicago and 22 western suburbs, including River Forest. Sarah's Inn Intervention Program provides services for families affected by domestic violence in order to safely navigate the crisis that they've endured, effectively process the trauma, and ensure their self-sufficiency in our community. We at Sarah's Inn serve an extremely diverse population. As many of you know, domestic violence has no boundaries. It impacts people of all socioeconomic statuses, all races, ethnicities, and yes, all immigration statuses. Sarah's Inn provides services to immigrants, which are a particularly vulnerable population. And this is due to a number of factors. Many people are withdrawn from close family, friends, relatives, those people that they can trust and turn to for support when they're in need. Their capacity to understand the laws of the United States, of our state of Illinois, as well as other local municipalities, can also deter them from coming forward. Immigrants are often reluctant to report acts of domestic violence to the police or to seek services. As you all are aware, domestic violence is against the law in the United States. All people in the United States, regardless of race, color, religion, sex, age, ethnicity, or immigration or citizenship status, are guaranteed basic confidential protections under both civil and criminal law. As recognized under the Federal Violence Against Women Act, the VAWA Act, law enforcement plays a critical role in a trusted community response to domestic violence and sexual assault. Community trust policies are critical tools for increasing community safety, helping to bring the most vulnerable victims out of the shadows by creating trusting relationships between law enforcement and the immigrant community, in turn protecting the entire community. In recent months, Sarah's Inn advocates have seen an increase in fear expressed by our immigrant victims and a reluctance to reach out to help from police, as well as to file for confidential protections afforded them under VAWA, including not pursuing civil's orders of protection and criminal domestic violence or domestic abuse charges against their abusers. Abusers use the fear of immigration status and deportation as a way to control victims. This fear further deters victims from reporting domestic violence and these criminal acts. U Visa and U VAWA protections were created exactly for that reason. The federal level, they are there to protect all victims of crime and their families. I urge the River Forest Village Board to affirm the intent of the Violence Against Women Act by supporting strong, trusting relationships with immigrants within our community. It is critical not only for public safety, but it is essential and vital for the safety of victims of domestic violence and their children. Thank you.
I have a question for you. I've seen in California that there's, I think the number was 40% drop in reported domestic violence and 25% in reported rapes. Are those similar numbers in Illinois, do you know?
They are. I mean, we're trying to collect some good data in Illinois. One of the things is, you know, how do you collect who's not reporting, right? And one of the ways is through agencies like ours, where we see victims who are coming to us for a myriad of our other services, but they have a fear of filing for legal orders of protection or for following up with U visa and VAWA protections. So, you know, our advocates help them to file those applications, the statuses, but they truly don't believe that if they turn in that paperwork that they won't be deported.
But is it sort of the same magnitude?
Yes.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. So we have, next up is Lupe Jimenez. Jimenez.
It's been worsely butchered, so it's not too bad.
You should see what they say in my name. Yeah. So it's been
Kargi my whole life, so yeah. I understand.
I won't start on my name.
Yeah.
Good evening to everyone, to the trustees of River Forest and all the residents here tonight. I don't have anything in writing. I was asked to come forward this morning by my pastor from St. Vincent and Father Brandon from Dominican. My name is Lupa Jimenez, and I live at 915 Franklin. We have lived in River Forest since 2000, and we are very happy and very proud, you know, that we found River Forest. We discovered River Forest. We came to River Forest. In the years that we have been here, I have come across many, many different families, ethnic families, and I'm so grateful that everybody who lives in River Forest has such a positive and sensitive, you know, feeling for others. My husband, I'm a first generation citizen. My children are second generation citizens, and I was raised by two wonderful parents who instilled in us faith, love, and respect. And being a child of immigrants, I think I've come very close to many other immigrants who are at this moment suffering, you know, great fear out there. It's very sad that living in the 21st century, many people feel that they are being persecuted because, in a sense, what's happening, this anti-immigration rhetoric, is some form of persecution for many. Also, being an employer of 400 plus employees, a large quantity being immigrants, I see, you know, firsthand the fears of many. And as a business, we have felt the ripple effects and the negative impact of the fear that's out there has been out there in the last 5 months. The first 3 months, our businesses suffered drastic losses, unbelievable, like never before. I said to my husband, what is going to happen? The last 2 months have not been too bad. I think some of the people are beginning to come out of their shell. Not that they've lost the fear. The fear is there. But they, you know, they have faith. They have faith that things will change for them. Many, many businesses, we have many colleagues in the same line of business, and we know that they, too, have been harshly affected with this rhetoric. So I am here to show my support. I want you to know that when I heard about this welcoming resolution, I was moved and just very, very proud to know that the village is proposing this resolution. Therefore, I can only say, and also I just want to say that every person that's been out here, you know, everything they have said is so eloquent that I can only echo every thought and every feeling on their behalf. And thank you so much to every one of you who has been up here. I profoundly appreciate it. And again, I just want to show my support and certainly pray and hope that, you know, the village will vote yes for it. Thank you so much. Thank you.
So I'm going to go on first name basis going forward. It's Amelia? Okay, great.
Good evening. My name is Amalia Rioja. I've been living in River Forest for over 10 years. President Ducci and fellow village trustees, thank you so much for holding this discussion, and it's heartwarming to see so many people here, and they're standing room only, so it's great to see so much support and interest that's been generated by this proposed resolution. So I'm here really to talk in terms of, in a personal level, but also in terms of my background being in state government. I worked the bulk of my legal career in state government, the Attorney General's office under Pat Quinn, and also under the Comptroller. So to me, you know, I support this resolution for many reasons, but, you know, and as others have said very eloquently, it's sound public policy. We should be building trust in our communities and not fear. We have very limited resources, as we all know, so we should devote them to activities that actually make sense and promote well-being and safety for our communities. But also, I think, in terms of sending a message about what kind of community we are, what we stand for, and our identity, I think it's really important to support this kind of resolution and really sending a message that we believe that we are really all part of the same community. There's so much evidence of hate and fear, as we see almost every day in the news, and I think that it's measures like these that will help us move forward and build a kind of world and community for ourselves and for our kids, and be able to make this a better world for all of us. Thank you.
Kristen? Kalada? Kalada? I got that right. Did I get
that right? Hello, President Adusi and Village Trustees. Thank you very much for being here this evening. And really, all of my comments have already been said, so I'm just here to echo what has been said. I'm just here as a resident, as a mom. My husband, Farzad, and I have been living here for 11 years. We moved to River Forest because of the close-knit community and the excellent educational system that River Forest has to offer, and we have not been disappointed. While we've lived here, we have just enjoyed the people very much, and we have just really reaped a lot of rewards from this wonderful community. On its face, it may not seem necessary that River Forest would need a Welcome Village resolution. However, I believe that it would send a powerful message to our community that diversity and tolerance are embraced here. My husband immigrated to the U.S. from Iran in 1973. Along with his family. They left their home, family, and culture that they loved because their government was oppressive. Here in the U.S., they pursued their higher educational degrees in science, engineering, and business. They were given the opportunity to work in their fields, volunteer in their community, raise their family, and enjoy the freedoms that the U.S. has to offer. Subsequently, my husband's father went to Iran to check on his job back in Iran, and he was permanently separated from the family. And that really scarred my husband during his formative years from age 9 until about 30. He was unable to see his father. So my family has firsthand knowledge of what it's like to be separated. Given the current climate in our nation, where immigrants and certain religious groups are vilified, I feel that designating this village as a welcome village will send a powerful message that we respect and embrace diversity and tolerance. We really should value all residents regardless of their religion, their dress, or their country of origin. River Forest in the U.S. has a strong history of embracing immigrants and enfolding them into the fabric of our society. We benefit from their hard work, their cultural contributions, and their innovations. If we live under an umbrella of respect for all existing residents, we will all benefit. Policies that are meant to induce fear among different groups will not help us solve the serious problems that face Chicago, Illinois, and River Forest. But if we all come together in a spirit of tolerance, respect, and inclusion, I truly believe we can solve our problems together on a united front. Thank you very much.
John Weinheimer?
Good evening. My name is John Weinheimer, and I'm 25 years old. And aside from Mark Carroll, I believe I'm the youngest speaker here. thanks. I'm not currently a resident, but I grew up in River Forest. I attended Lincoln, Roosevelt, and OPRF, where I graduated in 2010. My parents, Tina and Eric Weinheimer, live in River Forest, and my younger brother is entering his senior year at OPRF, so I'm still deeply attached to the River Forest community. Following my graduation from Williams College, I worked in management consulting before moving into my current position this past February as sales manager of Bright Endeavors, a social enterprise in West Garfield Park that employs young moms ages 16 to 24 that struggle with homelessness and poverty to make candles. I'm honored to speak here tonight in support of the Welcoming Village Resolution because I believe it presents a special opportunity for our community. When I was at Lincoln Elementary, I remember first learning about McGruff houses. A police officer came to school and told us that if we were ever feeling unsafe when we were out in the neighborhood, all we had to do was look for a sign in the window that said McGruff House, and we could take refuge there. This black and yellow sign sported a brown dog and a trench coat. Not long after, I remember proudly learning that my parents had decided to register us as a McGruff House. One day, an officer came to our house to ensure that it was truly a safe space, and then I remember placing our sign in our front window. In my naivete and innocence, I would sometimes think about how cool it would be to heroically save a kid who needed the safety that my house and family could provide. Anytime I was out in the neighborhood, riding my bike to Keystone or Priory for practice, walking to Annie's after school for a nutritious combination of cheese fries and vanilla milkshake, I would always take notice of those yellow and black signs in the windows. And those signs said, "You are safe here." Those signs said, "We care about you. You are welcome here." The people in River Forest are so generous, and kids in River Forest are constantly reminded how fortunate we are. This Welcoming Village resolution is an opportunity for us to assert who we are as a community. We are a community whose compassion and generosity are not reserved for a select few. There is no litmus test for safety or refuge. When you are in River Forest, you are welcome. You are safe. When we preach kindness and respect, it is not only for those we deem worthy. There is no justification for passive acceptance of intolerance or racial targeting just because it might not affect you. We want the children of River Forest to live out those values into the world. Imagine a River Forest community in which a child that is in danger walked past a McGruff House and thought, "It is safe there for other kids, but not for me." This resolution is an opportunity for our entire town to choose to embody the values we seek to instill in the next generation. This resolution will help make every house in River Forest a McGruff House, and all will know you are safe here. You are welcome here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. Yeah. Pat Murray? Right? Oh, if you don't want to, that's all right. If you don't want to talk, you're...
No, I'm okay. Pat Murray. Thank you. And I live at 138 Park Avenue. I've been here for 41 years, the same house. And I'm glad to say that there's a lot more diversity now in our village than when I first moved in. And I do support the fact that we become a welcoming village. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. Next up is Renee Norton. Renee?
I did the same thing.
Okay. Oh, you don't have to speak. Okay.
My name is Renee Norton, and I've lived in River Forest for 40 years. It's always been a welcoming community, and I know that it always will be, and I'm strongly in favor of this resolution.
Thank you. Okay. I'm gonna need a lifeline here. What? I can't read that.
Phone a friend, Kim.
Yeah, phone a friend. I don't even know if we can. It's a nicely written one. We just can't read it. There he is. Can you read it?
So my name is Tom Hinterberger, and we've lived in River Forest since the 80s, and our children went to school here, and we still live here now. So I strongly support the resolution. Personally, I feel that our government and police force and all is much better used to, if we were to correct the immigration system. It's broken. And it isn't fair to impose that on the people that are living here and are under this veil of suspicion all the time. So I greatly support it, and River Forest is a great place to live. Our kids had a great experience here, and one of them still lives here, unfortunately. But I think that you know, it would be a very good message to everybody in the community if this resolution was passed. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Well, that wasn't the one we couldn't read. So when we get done and there's somebody that wants to, can you read that? I can't read that. All right.
Last name starts either with a T or an F.
Or H. Well, whatever. If you want to speak, and we will get to that at the end. So, and then we've got another father, and they didn't finish their name. Is there a father that wants to speak that hasn't spoken yet? No? They just said father. I mean, it might be a divine intervention here, and I can. So. Nobody? Nobody that. There you go.
My name is Father Brendan Curran. I'm a Dominican friar as well as Father Tom. I serve at Dominican University, and I just wanted to vote present in support of this wonderful opportunity to express welcoming. Thanks so much for considering this, for deliberating about it, and for reminding us that we're always to act and not simply live. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Father. Okay. Jerry with a J. I can't read that last name. Can you? Jerry with a J.
Or Jenny.
Or Jenny. Could be Jenny. J-E-N something or J-E-R-R-Y.
Do you have an address?
No address. All right, so we'll go on to Marianne Turk. Is
it? Jackson.
And Jackson, 946 Jackson?
Yeah, I'll guess I'm speaking. I'm just here in support.
Okay, very good. Okay. Rabbi Victor Merriman? Do I get that right? No. Always get more.
Good evening. I'm Rabbi Victor Merriman. I've lived in the village for 28 years. For the first 21 years, I was the rabbi at West Suburban. My friend Rabbi Glick spoke earlier. He's a successor of mine at that synagogue. I live 915 Park Avenue. And I'm strongly an advocate of this resolution. The perspectives from our traditions, both Jewish, Christian, even Muslim, have already been mentioned. I would like to say, as a personal word, that both my wife and I are immigrants. We've been here for several decades. I come from Argentina. My wife is a daughter of survivors in the Netherlands. For many years, I heard her parents telling stories about their hiding throughout the war years and being unable to walk around and always in fear that somebody would tell on them. So this is part of the picture we have today in a different setting. But it is very important that we remain a welcome village. My family decided to remain in town after retiring because we find the village very welcoming, and we have a lot of friends, and we continue to contribute. But the immigrants also contribute to our welfare. They not only are in fear, but they also pay taxes, they create industries, they promote different businesses, they pursue an education, and they are people with good intentions. So so long as they are within this side of the law, and law enforcement is very important, it is imperative that we continue to be a welcoming village. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So Father McDermott, you're down here twice. I don't know if you want to speak twice. Probably not, right? Unless you have more to say? Okay. So we'll move on to Allison McConnell.
Thank you for the opportunity to address you tonight. My name is Allison McConnell. I live at 726 William Street. My husband Greg and I are residents of the River Forest community, and our children attend River Forest schools. In addition, I am also the chairman of the board of Heartland Alliance for Human Needs and Human Rights. Heartland is one of the world's leading anti-poverty and human rights organizations, addressing the needs of hundreds of thousands of people in Chicago and in the western suburbs. We are also the parent organization for the National Immigrant Justice Center, which is a national organization that helps promote, provide legal services to immigrants and asylum seekers, and also unaccompanied minor immigrant children who arrive in the U.S. alone. Since Heartland was founded in the late 1800s by Jane Addams, we've been committed to supporting recent arrivals in the U.S., and we continue that work today. To give people fleeing danger and violence a fair shot at the hope and promise of our country, to work, pay taxes, and participate in the American dream. Heartland has been very supportive of these resolutions across the country because they keep resources focused on the right things, and keep communities safe by ensuring that issues of local safety are reported and addressed. And they recognize that a vibrant and active system is already in place, allowing law enforcement to properly do their job. As a citizen and a citizen of this village, I also want to say that I believe a welcoming resolution is the right thing to do, that it's the humanitarian thing to do. It keeps families together, and it ensures that our unaccompanied children, immigrant families, can live without fear. We are a giving, supportive, and welcoming community already, and this resolution will just help to codify that. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, and we have one more, and it's Margot and Trevor Toppin. Thank you all so much for persevering through tonight.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go cool off after this. So I have a present for you guys. I'm going to reveal it in a minute. But my name is Margot Toppin, and this is my husband, Trevor. And we've been River Forest residents for almost 12 years. We moved here in 2006. We have two children in District 90 schools, and we feel blessed to be active members in this wonderful community. We're here as representatives of the steering group that helped to get this initiative underway back in March of this year. As a tool to gauge community support for this initiative, Trevor and I, with input from others in the steering group, created an online petition. We had an initial goal of gathering signatures from 250 River Forest residents. We passed that goal in like a day. and we continue to gather signatures daily. As of this morning, more than 600 people have signed the online petition in support of a welcoming village in River Forest. Welcoming resolution in River Forest. While Trevor and I took the lead on setting up this petition, I cannot stress enough what a true community effort this entire process has been. I believe that the petition results, as well as the turnout in this room tonight, are very reflective of the broad cross-section of support that has rallied around this issue. And Trevor can share a bit more of the data to illustrate this.
Hi, thanks again for the opportunity to speak. As Margo mentioned, my name is Trevor Toppin, and I wanted to give everyone some specifics regarding the 615 signatures received as of this morning, which support a welcoming resolution in River Forest. The number continues to grow by the hour, but I had to cut it off earlier this morning because I kept opening and reopening, and I had to create the summary. So of the 615 signatures that we received, there were actually 14 names that were identified as duplicates. So I guess these were people that felt so strongly that they actually had to sign the petition twice. But if you take those out, the 601 unique signatures that we had, of these, 549 people identified themselves as being River Forest residents. So this is a very local group. I'm overwhelmed by this amazing organic show of support, which continues to grow and represents a vast cross-section of our community. 72 people who signed the petition identified themselves as working in River Forest. This segment of signers shows the massive support, and you saw it tonight, of this initiative from our local faith leaders, also our school teachers and administrators, and the business community. 25 people identified themselves as that they go to school in River Forest, and 11 people did not identify their affiliation but showed their support. Like most of you in this room, including the village board members, Margo and I made a choice to live in River Forest because of all that it has to offer. There are beautiful historic homes to live in, award-winning schools to teach our children, dedicated police and fire departments relentlessly committed to keeping us safe, and a community of loving, caring people around to share these bounties with. As individuals and members of our community, most of us do strive to be welcoming. But the truth is that there's a real segment of our vibrant community that is currently living in fear. Now is the time for our community and our elected representatives on the board to show our leadership. We must pass this resolution to help ensure that everyone who engages with our cherished community understands our values, feels welcome in our welcome and safe, and will continue to make valuable contributions to our community. Thank you.
And here's your present. This is 600 plus signed petitions.
Thank you. All right. Now that is all that we have on the list. If there is anyone that came late and would like to speak, I'd be more than happy to entertain it. Just raise your hand and come to the podium and tell me your name. If if you don't mind, if you wouldn't mind just telling us your name and if you're a resident. Oh, Yahoo!
It's Maureen Hinterberger.
Oh, Maureen.
Maureen, yes.
I could see that. Maureen, sorry.
Tom's is pretty bad too.
I was going back and forth on is it a T or an H?
And Tom's is bad too. So between the two of us, I am here. I'm part of the group that just signed up because to be present. But sitting here, I can't tell. We raised our children here. We moved downtown. We came back. I am so proud and impressed with all the speakers, with the board allowing all of this and it coming forward. The names on the petitions, I am just so proud to live in this community and have this resolution to back. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
How about the other one we can't read? Jenny, Jerry, something like that? No? Because I just can't read the last name. It's like my signature. I can't read my last name. All right. Well, that ends the public comments. Again, I'll give you one last moment. I don't see anybody raising their hands. So that ends our public comments, and we'll move on to the discussion amongst the board. Just so that you all know, that we've provided a packet for the Board of Trustees and myself, and inside that packet is
both the a letter from our village attorney identifying and giving us an analysis of the several sanctuary city ordinances of Chicago, Evanston, and Oak Park, and also an evaluation on the resolution from Forest Park, and you know a couple of direction items, as well as the all the sanctuary, as well as all the ordinances as well. So we've got that whole packet. And the board has had it for over, you know, 72 hours, so they had a chance to hopefully gone through it, and you know, this is their time now to, you know, discuss it amongst ourselves or ask any questions that you all might have. I think our village attorney did a very nice job of identifying the differences and our options. I'm assuming that all you have read them. Any questions on what Village Attorney Smith has put together? Or any comments?
Well, I'll comment. Yep. I'd like to thank everyone for coming. In the last election, I came out in favor of a welcoming resolution, and I still, you know, not that there was anyone to go against my opinion on tonight, but I think the arguments that were made were compelling. I congratulate the structure of your arguments, because normally when we do these, everyone just says the same thing over and over again. And so I appreciated that there was different perspectives that were brought. I especially appreciate the members of the religious community that spoke, because I think this does sort of fundamentally address our morality as a society. As I said, I favor the welcoming resolution. I think of the options that we have, the one from Forest Park makes the most sense. I think it's most in tune with us. The one thing that I think is missing from theirs is the prohibition on relation with ICE detainment orders. I noted that they didn't include that, even though it was in an original draft that I saw. I think that's just as important as the other parts of the ordinance that they approved. And so I would suggest, and I'm not sure how you want to proceed, Kathy, but I'm assuming the next step is, do we draft something?
Right. Well, it's going to allow us to talk a little bit, and then we can, but if you can just tell us what your...
My suggestion would be the Forest Park ordinance, but with the addition of language that would speak to the issue of the ICE detainment, or the immigration and custom agents, ICE, whatever it is, detention orders. And what that is there is the possibility that the ICE will call police agencies and ask them to hold someone without lawful court authority, and some police agencies will do that. In my view, everyone's entitled to Fourth Amendment protections, and that requires probable cause. And so if there's a lawful court order that says hold on to someone, then certainly we should honor it. But if it's just simply the request of a federal agency to a state agency to hold someone without legal authority, I'm opposed to that. And so that's the only modification that I would make to the Forest Park ordinance.
Okay.
Or resolution, I'm sorry.
Resolution. And that is important to make sure that we understand that that the board is considering a resolution, not an ordinance. Go ahead.
I'll go.
Mm-hmm.
So public speaking is a lot of fun. We all took it in school. For those of you that spoke tonight, thank you. It's very difficult. It's very emotional. It might sound like the delivery is very passionate, because it is. I can tell in the people's voices where they stand on an issue. It is very difficult to get up in front of a crowd and really show your heart to everybody how you feel on a topic, and I appreciate that. With that in mind, John Weinheimer, you nailed it, dude. The McGruff House. My girls graduated Roosevelt last week. They're going to be Huskies next year. If they turn out like you, life is good. Thank you for that. It's tough. You're a young man. You could have been out doing, you know, what 25-year-old guys do on a night like tonight, but you're here, and I appreciate that. As elected officials, we all follow a process. Sometimes the process doesn't move as quickly as you may want. Sometimes it moves too fast. This is the first step in that process. The purpose of the committee of the whole meeting is so we can sit and have a discussion without violating the Open Meetings Act. So like if the seven of us were standing on the street corner, we couldn't talk about this. So this committee of the whole process allows us to have a gathering like this and not have to worry about a vote at the end of the night. It elects, it gives us the opportunity to use the cliche of thinking out loud. We can throw things out and see how everybody else feels about that and either run with that idea or be talked out of that idea. But it gives this venue gives us the opportunity to do that. And please don't think that by not voting tonight, we're not making progress. This issue, this resolution, this topic made incredible progress tonight, and I appreciate y'all coming here. So that's all I have to say. Okay.
Thanks, Mike. Right. So now, in terms of any other questions or comments regarding the kind of the or any comments or questions you might have for somebody that spoke. But I think right now we're just kind of trying to get our arms around a little bit about what you all, you know, if there's any particular questions, and then I will, you know, I'll ask the board for a consensus after we all have an opportunity to speak. So, I mean, you don't have to speak. I'm just asking.
I concur with what Trustee Carney,
what Tom said about the Forest Park resolution. I think that's a good starting point for us. I don't know how everybody else feels.
Yeah, I think the model is a good model. Yeah. No. Go ahead.
Well, I hate to disagree with my fellow trustees, but I'd rather go with the model of Oak Park. I don't think the Forest Park goes as deep as it should. I think it just stops from, it just basically says we're not going to ask about immigration status, but I think there's more to it than that. I think based on, and by the way, thank you all for the comments that you came and made today, but we're missing a lot of the comments that were made today. First of all, I do think I've heard a number of people who've said that our local resources should not be made or used for federal immigration purposes, and I agree with that. I don't think we ought to be spending our money assisting or acting like immigration officers. That should not be our role. And I think there are other restrictions that we should have. And by the way, let me say, when I say restrictions, I don't mean violating any current federal or state laws. That's not what that's about. And I'm sure our police force, our local police force here and fire department and our local administration here are not in any way, are not in any way violating any federal or state laws. I worked in federal government. I worked with police enforcement as well when I was in the schools. I have the utmost respect for them. But there is a time in which we need to just focus on our jobs and let the federal government do theirs. And we should not be using our resources for that. And I think the Oak Park resolution goes far into restricting the type of roles local government should do along those lines. And I'm in favor of starting with the Oak Park resolution.
So, well, thank you, Russ. I would only say that inside the Forest Park resolution, there is a paragraph that basically states that that we would not do their job. The power to regulate immigration reserved for the federal government and the enforcement of immigration law is a function of federal government that currently resides with ICE. So you're saying you want something stronger than that?
Well, I would like something a little stronger that will define what that means. I'm not sure if that really goes as far as I'd like to, and I'm not talking about necessarily going into a four-page document, but I do think that making it clear that our police officers are not going to start questioning whoever they stop based on immigration status. Also, that our services are not going to be inquiring from residents about their immigration status. That is stuff that I understand we're not doing anyway. Right. So if we're already conducting and doing that practice, I'm not sure why we're not willing to put it in writing. Especially when we're hearing from people who want it in writing so that they feel, with the number of reasons they raised today about welcoming and safe.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I guess maybe that will be our next step because I think the intent of this, and I could get it, have it wrong, but of this resolution from Forest Park was to address just that. But if you're okay. saying there's something missing in there that needs to be a little bit more specific, then I'd like to see what that might be. Yeah. But okay, fair enough. Any other comments?
I would just also like to thank everyone for being here. I think the success of our village is based on the activity level of our residents. We as a board are here to represent you, and in order to do that, we need to hear from you. And so it's great to have gotten the emails that we received the last week or so. It's great that so many of you came out tonight to voice your opinions. So thank you for that. I would also echo that I would support starting with Forest Park, but Rez, I would like to have you, as Kathy said, to specify what you think is specifically missing. Some of the comments you just mm-hmm. made, I feel like, are represented in the Forest Park resolution. So if there was something specific that we can mm-hmm. tweak that.
Well, I guess the comment that I see in Forest Park is just very general. I don't think people are here to just get one sentence and a generality about what is meant by that. I think we want to spell it out.
Okay.
I'm willing to write something if you want. I'm already showing.
No. No.
I mean, I don't know if that's what people
are asking. We have a village attorney.
No. And I already showed our attorney what I'm looking
okay.
for.
Okay. So we'll gather that up and, kind of redline that. So we can build consensus over this. Okay, Patty, is that all you have? Any other comments?
Do you have something to say? I'll say something. First of all, we always appreciate when our community comes together to be participants, and this is a great example of people that are passionate about something, and we need to hear your voices, so we really appreciate you coming. The petitions. I thought you were going to pull out a turtle, Margo. Where are you?
Yeah.
I was waiting for that as a present. John, you had me at McGruff. I have to say, I was in McGruff House, and you were very eloquent, as were all the other speakers. Father Tom, I don't know if he's still here, from my parish, St. Vincent's. We as elected officials kind of have a tough job because we have to balance, humanitarian needs and wants with legal considerations. So that's where sometimes, these types of issues become somewhat difficult to have conversation about because we have to make sure that we're following all the laws that we need to follow with regard to federal and state legislation and also try to do the right thing. So, that's something that I think is important for everybody to remember, that we definitely look at that. And so, a lot of times what folks out here might want, we may not be able to deliver because of those considerations. So, but to the extent that I think Forest Park would be a good place to start with, I agree, that would be something I'd be comfortable with looking at, balancing the legal aspects of that with our village attorney. In my perspective, I worked with the Inclusiveness Advisory Board at District 90. And the premise for that board was to really set forward an equitable, inclusive school district, and that's where we started, and hoping that that would spread to our full community. And so, something I would like to see in this welcoming resolution is not necessarily just focusing on one aspect, but why aren't we just talking about, being respectful and courteous and including all residents, regardless of status or color or race or religion. How about just general respect and how we deliver our services? And I know we do a great job. I think we do a great job here with our police, our fire, our administrative services, public works. Those are the core missions for what we do as a village. And so I think to the extent that we can put that in writing to say that we value, and we hold our village employees to a certain standard is something that I'm willing to put on paper. I just want to make sure that we're also saying that I think we do those things. So I don't want it to seem like, we're missing something here. So I think that's something we can control, how our employees act, how they treat people, how fairly everybody's getting services, and how equitable everybody's getting services. So I'm more for a broader umbrella of, you know, equity, inclusion, respect, and in our delivery of services, and I think that would send a message about our community. So how do we achieve that, you know, is something we can talk about with our ordinance, all while also making sure that we're following our laws. So that's really what I'm in favor of, and I really appreciate everybody coming, and thank you for your comments.
So, so I Trustee Corsini, I think the Forest Park resolution, I think, addresses some of that. Again, it says, unless I've missed it, and I know Moni was working with Forest Park on this, so if I'm wrong, but you know, if this is something that works for you, maybe perhaps you can reread this, but it says, whereas in acknowledging and reaffirming our commitment to the rights of all persons,
right,
regardless of immigration status, it's important to reassure our residents and visitors that the village, through its officials, employees, and in uniform services, presently conducts itself according to the principle of equal, respectful, and dignified treatment of all persons,
right,
and provides assistance and service to those that need without the regard to race, religion, national origin, citizenship, or immigration status. So I think that's a pretty healthy paragraph, but if there's something you'd like to add more than that.
I do have one question for the village attorney, because it seems like we have, you know, it outlines classes of residents as protected classes. Are those legally protected? Are we creating protected classes, or, you know, where it lists all these different classes? So I'm just concerned that we're making sure that we're, you know, we're in conformity with whatever legal protected classes are. And when you look at, let's see,
where's
page, let's see where we are. Maybe it was in the, oh yeah, section 3 and section 4, you know, they're not consistent.
Forest Park?
Yes.
Yes, Forest Park.
They're not consistent. You know, we're calling them protected classes. I just want to make sure that we're, you know, that would be cleaned up to the extent that we can make those paragraphs consistent.
State and federal law both create different protected classes. The Federal Civil Rights Act, for instance, creates some broad classifications that are protected, you know, race, color, religion, and so forth and so on. And then Illinois has its own Human Rights Act, which expands on those to include sexual orientation and gender identity in some instances. This ordinance draws in Forest Park, rather, the resolution draws a broad scope, but then goes on to say in Section 6 that it doesn't create or form the basis for any cause of action or liability against the village, making clear that while the employees and agents of the village are held to this standard, it doesn't confer rights, unlike under federal and state law, where someone could bring a lawsuit,
right,
to say that, well, this resolution gave me more rights than I have under federal and state law. This resolution is really an employment-type document.
Right.
If our employees violate this resolution, if we're Forest Park, that could be a basis to do discipline on them, but it doesn't give the public a right to go to a judge and say, you need to make this right.
Okay. I just would make it consistent, because 3 and 4, you know, seems like we're talking about accessibility to all, but they're not the same. So
I understand. I think we could use some defined terms to clean that up so that it's consistent between the sections.
I do think that we don't want to dilute it to the point where we lose the message. I mean, the point here is I'm not at risk. I don't have to worry about being deported tomorrow. And so I think it is important that we highlight the fact that we are protecting people who are at risk, not just simply serving everyone, because that's obviously our mission.
Well,
so the goal of this is to actually exemplify that we not just welcome everyone, but that we truly welcome those people that are currently at risk. And that, so I think diluting it is sort of like going with the All Lives Matter movement. It misses the point of the Black Lives Matter. That is, that black, you know, right now, I won't go in there, down there, but that, I realize it was a bad angle, but the goal here is to reassure those people that are currently at risk, and so the more we dilute the message,
okay,
the
I'm
less
sorry.
We make that
okay,
message.
I'm not suggesting dilution. I'm suggesting consistency, because if you look at paragraph 3 and paragraph 4, you're omitting some, you're adding some in a different place, so I'm just asking the attorney to make that consistent message. And I think, Greg, you understand.
As we debate the rest,
you understand what I'm getting at.
Yes.
You want the same order and categories,
right, exactly,
that included
it's
both
not
in 3 and 4.
Exactly.
In Section 2 as well.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm not looking to dilute it. I'm looking to clarify, make sure it's consistent in all the paragraphs.
Okay. We've noted that.
Okay. Everybody got that.
All right.
We're good.
Okay. All right. Okay, I guess it's my turn. I agree. It's about the undocumented immigrants, and it's about how we anticipate behaving as a village government, and that's what we're here for. This is a national issue that has come down to a local issue now, which is rare. You know, we don't. We're a local board. We like to deal with local problems, and so this is funneled down to now a local issue, and it's obvious that there's some attention that needs to be drawn to it, and some policies that we need to reaffirm to assure the treatment of those people in our community. Our policy is our police department, the unwritten policy, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that we currently do just what you're asking us to do. We don't ask someone's current status, immigration status, and we don't cooperate with ICE or work with them in any way. I believe that what you're asking is that if this changes, if this policy is continued to accelerate, if that's what happens, that we have it in writing, and the confidence in our community would have the confidence that this policy that we have had, we will continue to have. It's obvious that all of you are here love River Forest. I love River Forest. We are welcoming, whether it's written down or not written down, because you all just said so, how much you love it here, and I feel that same exact way. So I'm just trying to give a little perspective, I guess, about, you know, what we can expect. We can affirm our welcoming. We can affirm our policies. We can implore our national government to make changes that are right for this country and healthy, and rectify a broken immigration system, like one of our other speakers said. If we could make those little changes and influence that in any way, we will have done big things. Because this isn't a problem that's going to be solved by how many welcoming resolutions we can get in the country. It has to be solved in D.C. And I fervently hope that they can figure it out, and those people that are here can have confidence that they can stay, they can work here, that they can become citizens, whatever it is that makes the most sense, and I'm not the person that can figure that out. So anyway, I think we as a board will put together this resolution, and we will affirm on paper that we are welcoming, even though I think we already are. I don't know how the wording will go exactly, but I am in favor of going forward as a result of what you've all said and your passion and your commitment, and we share that. I share that. So. Thank you, Susan. So, from my perspective, I want to say thank you to all of you. As everyone has said, you know, we're here to do the right thing, and it is always good to hear from our residents. It's always good to hear your point of view. And so long as I am the president, I will always ask for people's opinions and insist that they give it to us, because it's real important. It's real important for us to know that. I would add on to Trustee Conte's. I'm not only reaffirming, but I think we have to provide direction to our law enforcement and its agents and our other employees here in River Forest. And I think that is what the Forest Park Resolution and other ordinances say. So give you a little bit of perspective, I mean, my hope, and I have said this to a few of you, so I will go on record, is that I don't want to break this tie. I have no intentions to break this tie if there is a vote that comes to our attention, because that means we're divided as a community, and I don't want that to happen. So I am going to work really hard,
And I think I've got the confidence of this board to really work really hard on our River Forest's behalf to come to a resolution, a welcoming resolution that I think we all can stand by and be proud of. And my hope is to get a 6-0 vote on that. And we're going to work hard at it. We're going to work hard at it. But it's not to say that I would not vote for one. I would. And I would give you my commitment to that. But I think we want to be one community. We really want to work hard at creating a, a cohesive community and a board vote. So with that, it sounded like I heard some consensus, which I'm really happy about. And the consensus is the Forest Park welcoming resolution is a good model to start with. There are some tweaks that we might have to work on that we will do. We've got some notes here. And so I hear the consensus. I think that our next step is to write a draft resolution. That would be our next step for River Forest. So it would have River Forest ease in the resolution. And I would hope to bring that resolution as its first draft to the board on July 10th. At that time, I would like to call out our first reading of the resolution, if I can use some legislation terminology. And then we go through that resolution one more time, and then we might have a second reading. And then maybe if we don't have too many changes after the second reading, we could vote. But if we have a little bit more changes, then it would be on the third reading that we would vote, which would put us somewhere in the because it's summer and we have a summer vacation schedule, it would put us somewhere in August or September time frame for the final vote. And we will bring this to a final vote. Again, my hope is to build the consensus and majority of the board to get there. So I hope that's been, like I said, I'm not at all scared to make that final vote, but I think it's important for our community to come together around this and hold our heads high on this. So that would be my, as leader of the board, that would be what I would I would recommend to the Board of Trustees, if that is okay with all of you. So hearing no, yes, I'll take you.
I'm just curious what the opposition is, because no one on the board has spoken about why they wouldn't vote there. Are there issues that you would be trying to bring together, the divided?
I think it's just the language.
Yeah, the
breadth and the depth.
It's the silent majority, kind of thing that we.
July 10th is our next meeting.
Oh, so you heard that?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, she's calling for a draft to be presented to us at our next meeting.
Yeah. So I'm not saying that they're.
I'm curious what would be the points against.
Well, we don't know. We haven't heard it. So my point is since we're not there yet. Is if we can't get to some, compromise, let's say, Trustee Corsini wants something very specific, and for some reasons we can't get there, which I don't think we will. I think we'll all get there in the right spot. It could be possibly somebody says I can't vote for this, but that's not the hope. The hope is that we'll all get there at the same time. But we have to, it's a process, and so, we don't have a resolution yet. We have Forest Park's resolution, which I think is a very good one for us to start with. So it's not like there's a lot of work. It's just that July 10th is our next official board meeting. So we don't have one in June anymore because of the summer schedules. People are on vacation. So we have a July 10th and August 24th meeting. And we can call a special Kyle meeting if we need to, but we might not need to. So that's why it ends up in August. Is nothing more than that. Does that answer your question? Yeah, okay. I'm happy to answer any questions out there if you have any. This is our time to talk to all of you too. Okay. Well, great. That's wonderful. I again appreciate you all coming in. I appreciate the trustees. Thank you. Yep. All right. Okay. We need a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
Aye.
All those in favor? Aye.